I'm very glad we have the kids here because I have a few questions, not difficult questions. The first thing I want to ask us this morning is, what is a sense? What is a sense? We've got five senses. Name one of them. Taste. Another one is? Smell. Another one? Hearing. We also have feeling. What's the other one? Seeing. There we go. So those are the five senses. Okay, now, an easier question. What is a feeling? Name an example of a feeling. Happy. What else? Sad. Anxious. Excited. Now, there's a lady. She's got a funny name. Her name is Dawn Goldworm. And as if her name is not funny enough, she has a funnier and more interesting job. And she is, this is for real her title, a director of smell. They also call her a nose director. And Dawn's work is to make sure that all the products of the same company smell the same. Isn't that interesting? And now you're thinking, she probably works for like a food company, like KFC or something like that. You won't believe it. One of her biggest clients is, in fact, Nike. So Dawn's job is to make sure that your pair of sneakers smells exactly like your very first pair of Nikes. 20 years ago, when you convinced your mom that you're too old for North Star tackies now. That's her job. And the reason why this is so important is because Dawn says that smell is in fact stored in your brain as an emotion, a feeling. She says smell is not a sense, it's actually a feeling. So I decided we need to test that theory of hers. So I brought us some bottles, and I'm going to need some kids. And if they don't come on their own, I'm going to call their names because I know them. I'm going to need some kids to come to the front and help us distribute these bottles. So they are numbered. Don't open them just yet. And come. Thank you. Thanks, Phoebs. I told you I'm going to call you. So Mimi, you will have to come because you didn't come on your own. And MK, then you will have to come as well. Oh, he's hiding. I know your name. So you can hand them out. Give them to a few adults as well. Amalekom, jy ook, sissy. Geef vir 'n paar mense. Daarso. Daarso. Daar's nog een. Okay. There you go. Don't open them yet. Geef sommer vir 'n paar mense, ja. I'm going to give them, yeah. You can be happy. I don't know your name. Okay, I've got more bottles here. People want to take part. There we go. Three more. And last it here. That's it. Okay. So we are going to, if you are close to a bottle, just share them. We're going to start with number one. If you have, you will see they've got little numbers on the top. If you have a number one, you can open it and smell it. So don't tell me what it is. Tell me your association. For pancakes. It's cinnamon. So what's the association? He said pancakes. What else? Anyone else has some memory about cinnamon? Christmas. Anything else? Okay. Number two. Who wants to open number two? It's not a pleasant Christmassy smell. Caleb, what's that? What's your association? Injury. Yeah, that's not a good one. That's probably a negative emotion. Who else have an association with that? Maybe your mom used to clean your wounds with that. Number three. I'm still smelling. My fingers are smelling like number three. Got number Janneke? Number three makes me, my mother-in-law's house smell like number three. That's my association. It's a good association. I love her. It's lavender. It's lavender. Number three is lavender. What is your, they don't smell. They don't smell lavender in there. You don't smell lavender in number three. It does. You confirm. Okay. Number four is a very strong smell. Number four, my association with number four is church. My mom's handbag used to smell like that. What is number four? Look at her face. What is number four? It's peppermint. Yes, so it's peppermint. Do you smell it? Okay. The last one, number five. Oh, I had to remember what number five was. Who has a number five? Marcel? Can be, what's your association? He doesn't want to tell us. You see, that's definitely a bad emotion, a bad memory. All right? Or too good. John also doesn't like it. So it's a very, very sweet smell. It's like a vanilla butterscotch. Okay. So today we are speaking about the smell of Christmas. We are speaking about the three gifts. And I also heard the story of the three gifts when I grew up. And reading about gold, frankincense, and myrrh, I don't even know how to say it, I always thought that I know exactly what gold was. So I thought frankincense and myrrh was just like the big Bible words for gold and silver. Gold and bronze. Ugh, the other ones. Silver and bronze. Because obviously, gold and silver and bronze goes together. But luckily, I grew up. And they said that the original form of frankincense actually looked like this. It's part of a bark of a tree. And in its other form, this is the like pure form, in the like form we know it more, it's more like this. It's a smell. And it was created to give an aromatic sense. And for us to truly understand, why did the wise men bring frankincense to Jesus? We will need to find out what the association was for the Israelites when they smelled frankincense. So before we go into the word, let me pray for us. Father God, this morning, we are so grateful to be in your presence. We are so grateful to come together as fellow believers and experience this, just coming together and the beautiful day outside and the prospect of spending time with family and loved ones and celebrating Christmas. Father God, and this morning I ask that you come and speak to our hearts so that this won't be like over-familiar story, but that we will hear something new this morning, something that you will want to deposit in our heart. Amen. So we are going to read the story of the wise men. I almost said three wise men. The wise men from Luke. It's not Luke 2, it's Matthew 2. Okay. So Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the time when Herod was king. After Jesus was born, some wise men from the east came and they asked, "Where's the baby who was born to the king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We came to worship him." When King Herod heard this about the new king, he was troubled. And all the people in Jerusalem were worried as well. Herod called a meeting to all the leading priests and teachers of the law. He asked them where the Christ would be born. They answered, "In the town of Bethlehem in Judea. The prophet wrote about this in the scriptures. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are important among the rulers of Judah. A ruler will come from you. He will be like a shepherd for my people, the Israelites." Then Herod sent the wise men to Bethlehem. He said to them, "Go and look carefully to find a child. When you find him, come tell me. Then I can go worship him too." The wise men heard the king and they left. They saw the same star they had seen in the east. It went before them until it stopped above the place where the child was. When the wise men saw the star, they were filled with joy. They went to the house where the child was and saw him with his mother. They bowed down and worshipped the child. They opened the gifts they brought to him. They gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But God warned the wise men in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they went home to their own country by a different way. So why did the wise men bring frankincense to Jesus and not silver and bronze? To answer these questions, we need to find out what the association was for the Israelites. So way back in the beginning of the Bible, just after Moses led the Israelites into the desert, God was speaking to Moses and he was giving them all these rules. Because remember, the Israelites used to be slaves and they were used to people telling them what to do and being like under authority of the Egyptians. And now God said, but you are my people. And they didn't know exactly what it meant. So they had to be taught what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, where to live. And then God told them about the tabernacle. So there's this very, very detailed recipe of what the tabernacle should look like. Exact measurements, length, height, like floor area, very, very exact. And then in Exodus 30, verse 34, we read how God is talking to Moses. And he's saying this, take sweet spices. I can't remember that word in my Bible, but stacked. And onycha and galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each there shall be an equal part. And burn it as a frankincense. Mix it together. And where I will meet with you. God is giving this very detailed recipe to say, I want to meet with you. Way back in the beginning, God was walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. If we read about the paradise, that's why it's called paradise. It's like God that made us out of love to have relationship with him, to meet with him, to walk with him, to spend time with him. That's why it's paradise. Way in the beginning, God said, I want to meet with you. Then later, after the Israelites were led into the desert, he said, burn the frankincense because I want to meet with you. And it became an Israelite tradition. There would be a priest lighting frankincense, and that smell would be symbol of God meeting with the people through the priest. And then later, the wise men came, and they bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to say that this Jesus is actually God. And Jesus came that we could have that personal meeting with God. Not through rituals anymore. Not anymore a specific time and place. Just us through Jesus with God. And how can I be so sure that if God said it in the beginning, how can I be so sure he's still saying that? Because God says, Malachi 3 verse 6, am I a man that I would change? He says it again, Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus, yesterday, today, tomorrow, the same. And again, am I a human that I should change my mind? I am God, I do not change. So God's initial desire in the beginning to meet with us is God's current desire today to meet with us. Now, if you're not excited about meeting with God yet, maybe it's because you have the wrong association with meetings. You get different kind of meetings. Myself, I don't really like meetings. My husband is laughing because I actually hate them. And there are many kinds, I know. One of the worst is probably, for me, a whiteboard meeting. I hate those. But what about a Zoom meeting? Imagine you had to meet God on a Zoom meeting. I can just imagine being there and being muted because I spoke too much yesterday. I read that the designers of Zoom now did a new, an update. There can be 10,000 people on a Zoom. I did the calculation. That means 400 screens of faces. Maybe you're not excited about meeting God because you think it's going to be like a Zoom. And you will never have the opportunity to talk to God. Maybe you are not excited because you're thinking it's like to be called into the principal's office or into the office of the CEO. And the only time they actually speak to you is when you did something wrong. Maybe that's why you're not excited about meeting with God. And that's not the meeting that God wants for you. The second thing we're learning today is that God's meeting with you is personal. Just before the story of the wise men is told, in Matthew 1 verse 23, the angel Gabriel came to Joseph and is telling him that your fiancé is going to have a baby and he is going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. It's personal. When Herod went to the priests and they knew the scriptures and said, where is this king to be born? And what is the scripture saying about it? It said this, he will be like a shepherd. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. We know those words, like a shepherd. That's like the most known psalm in the Bible, Psalm 23. And it goes like this, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff are with me. You prepare table, food, before me in the presence of my enemies. And if I read that, makes me lie down, leads me, restores my soul, leads me, even though through the valley of shadow of death, your rod and your staff prepare food before me. It sounds a lot like parenting a young child. I know about parenting a young child. Look, Sergio is laughing. Parenting a toddler is all-consuming. It takes every minute and of your day and night. And God is saying, I want to meet with you. I want to be with you every minute of your day and night. I will not leave you alone. That is how personal my meeting with you is. The third thing that we want to hear today is where God wants to meet us. There's the story in the Bible. It's part of the Christmas story. And so many times it's overlooked. It's just like it's almost like a December birthday. It's that thing you need to rush past before you do hear the real Christmas story. And this story is in Luke 1. And it's about a man called Zechariah. Now, Zechariah was a priest. He was from the order of Abia, because the priests were divided into 24 divisions, and he was from that division. And Zechariah was married to Elizabeth, and they had no children. And then one morning, I'm not exactly sure when it was, I don't know the rituals that well, but one morning, Zechariah had to go to the temple, as always, to do his duty. And by lot, it was decided that it was in fact his turn. So they don't say exactly how many priests there were, but there should be at least 240, because there were 24 divisions and between 6 and 10 in a division. So it's between 150 and 240. And by lot, they would decide which division is going. And this morning, Abia was chosen, his division. And then by lot, again, it's like throwing a dice, Zechariah was chosen. And they said the odds for this were so small, some of the priests served for 20 to 30 years at the temple and never, ever had this opportunity. So the odds for you to be chosen is so small. And the story goes further, and guess what Zechariah was supposed to do that morning? It was his turn to burn the frankincense. And the Bible says that, I want to read it because it's so specific. It says, "And the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense." So Zechariah's going in. He's like He's like standing in, and he's going in, the representative, and the multitude of people are sitting outside waiting for him. God hasn't spoken to the people like in 400 years, so they're waiting. What is God going to say? And I'm thinking Zechariah is also going in, and maybe a big prophecy to the nation, or wait. And guess what God is talking to him about? He's talking to Zechariah about Zechariah, about him. He's saying, Zechariah, and the Bible says, the angels say, you will have a son. It feels to me that that's not exactly how God talks to us. He will probably say, hey, what's on your heart? You know that thing that you're thinking of? Day and night. You know that thing that you've been praying about for years? You know that thing in your heart that you're happy, but you're not entirely happy because that? Let's talk about that. I don't care about a multitude waiting outside for you for a new prophecy. I care about you. I want to talk about that thing. And it says, Zechariah, you will have a son. Your wife will be with child. And even though it was this amazing moment, Zechariah has been waiting for this, and he gave up on this because he said, but she's old. But God said, she will have a son. And she had a son. We read about him in the Bible later, John the Baptist. But this very specific thing, I think it's no coincidence. It's no coincidence that this story was told just before we hear about the gifts that was brought to Jesus, the gifts of frankincense. It's no coincidence that Zechariah was supposed to burn frankincense, because the burning of frankincense was not a ritual. The smell of Christmas is not the smell of gammon and suntan lotion and brandy pudding and everything that's warming our hearts towards family and being together and summer and holiday. Those are all good things. But the smell of Christmas, it what is whatever reminds you that God, the Lord, wants to meet with you. wants to have a very personal meeting with you. And while you think there's so many expectations and so many people that you need to get to or buy a Christmas present to or cook for, no matter the expectations, God is saying, I want to be with you here. And let's talk about that thing. That thing that's in your heart. That thing that you think I've forgotten about. Let's talk about that. And this morning I want us to close with that. Sergio is going to play a song for us. And I want you to respond. And I don't know what your response is. Maybe your response is just to stand up while they're singing this. Maybe you want to kneel while they're singing this. Maybe you just want to sit where you are and just say, God, I missed it. I didn't believe you really want to meet with me. I didn't know how personal you are. I forgot. This morning, I want us to see that frankincense, see, this is a moment to worship with God, to say, God, here I am. He's already there. He's just waiting for you to say, here I am.